recording the whole time. Including talking about how your personal life it affected you.
Like, we'll get there.
Yeah, I know, right?
We'll get there.
It's really good.
Okay, well, we should probably have a formal introduction here.
Okay.
I've done a lot of podcasts in the past, and this is like the first one like back, I guess. And it's really cool.
We're back.
And it's really cool that it gets to be with Allie. And it gets to be with my dear helper friend, Sovereign Sire. She's like one half helper, well, one half friend, and one half helper.
I'm your dark passenger.
Yes.
I know. I was saying that earlier when she was talking about having issues getting here to our location. But I'm like, why didn't you just ask her to do it for you real quick?
Yeah, we rented a hotel, and I booked it today online. But didn't realize when I checked in, they said, yeah, you booked this for July 20th.
It makes total sense to me.
I always wonder, like, when people are on set and they see, like, what jackasses we are, I always have to take them aside and say, you've seen what we do, right? Like, it's gonna be okay. I promise you.
I know, it's so funny. I've heard you say that to somebody else before. Because I know how you work, but working with somebody else is my partner, and you go to them and reassure them. And I'm always cracking up because I'm like, what? Why are you even bothering saying that? You could run around in a monkey suit and it would be okay. It would make a difference.
That's important to appear to care what other people think, you know?
But it's always just insanity.
Yeah.
And I always have to reassure, just trust me, it's going to be okay.
Like, yeah,
it's
going
to be okay.
Yeah, you were saying that to me the first day that we shot this, only because we were working with a different crew, I guess I should say. Not the normal crew.
Okay, right.
So you were saying that to me at some point, trying to calm me down because it wasn't bad, but it was a lot of adjusting to do for one of the team workers. We call them, I don't know what we call them.
I know. Okay.
And she could tell, you could totally tell that I was freaking out because I really know what's supposed to happen and I know what's supposed to go on and the questions that were being asked were like,
oh, I know.
Was like,
and you could
so,
tell that I wasn't really, yeah. I was really like.
I know.
It's but just, I'm one on set, well, I guess maybe. Alex Ladd might disagree, but I'm usually one on set that's not confrontational, and I try and keep things smooth. So if someone's like not, you know, if someone's acting up, you just kind of ignore it.
Yeah.
And then you just, it's not happening. It
yeah.
doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
Right?
It's not going on.
So I think we were in the, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. We were just trying to stay in the zone.
And that was
especially
day one. That was day one.
Yeah, especially because it was day one. And I can't say that if the first day goes bad, every day is worse, because it's normally not like that. But you do think that if the first day is bad, you're like, oh my gosh, is this how it's going to be? But it wasn't. And it only got better, surprisingly, because I didn't think it could get better than every day that was happening.
But do you remember what I said to you after day one?
That we're not gonna have a bad day. That was one thing that you said. But were you talking about that? It was crazy that day one was this good.
Yeah, I said that you totally
yeah.
fucked up because you
yeah.
had brought it so hard.
It was so good.
That how are you ever going to exceed
I know.
What you just did? And you were gonna have to exceed it three more times.
Yeah.
Well, how did you decide? For people listening, how did you decide that you were gonna do a showcase around Allie? Why? And because I think maybe it would be important for people. I think people might be curious as to what makes you pick. Who you're gonna do
totally.
A showcase okay. around, and like how do you build a showcase, like what's your processing like when you,
okay,
like when you go okay, like first you decide you're gonna do a showcase around Allie, and then you sit there and you're brainstorming and you're, like what's your process for deciding like how you're going to sort of unfold that narrative?
With you, we have been wanting to do this for a while, hadn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've asked me to do this since other company days.
Right.
Yeah, so for a while, actually, after the first time I was introduced to you, I know was with, because William H. shot me first, and it was, like, a bad scene. Like, it was not good, and I remember you telling me this. It's not that it wasn't good, I was just still so, like, fresh. Like I was saying earlier, I was never a Gonzo girl.
What was it for?
So that was Starlet's 2010.
But it wasn't William H., right? We don't want to say bad things about William
no,
H.
No, it wasn't.
We love William
no, no, no.
H.
It was
we
not.
Love him.
No, it was not William. It was more or less so. That was probably like one of the first Gonzo
wow.
things I had ever
okay.
shot because
okay.
I was doing features only and mostly acting stuff, which is mainly what most of my career pretty much is.
Well, do you want to talk about that? What that is? for people that don't? Like, what's the difference to you between gonzo and features? Like, what does that mean for, like, people that...
Well, generally speaking, it from the sexual side, I always say that gonzo movies are, you know, you being you. Feature movies are you being someone else but trying to be you. That's right. It's a different mix. You know, you're playing a character in a feature movie, and you're, you know, having to kind of, for me, I try to take on in my head, like, how would that person have sex? Like, how can I portray this across? So it's always been, you know, obviously we can't get away from having sex as us sometimes.
Right. Because sure,
you know,
course,
once you
not.
Get going,
yeah, of course not.
No matter what kind of character you're playing, you lose all sight of that. So, and then when it was time to, you know, then I was shooting Gonzo, which was pretty much just go. Like, here's you in a hot room with a dude. How do you feel right now? And then act on it. And you're, like, just released. And you're supposed to,
Do you feel more intimidated doing Gonzo, or do you feel more comfortable?
I used to be intimidated. Now I'm more comfortable. I definitely think at the beginning I was super intimidated, and I really relied a lot on my partners.
Mm-hmm.
And that I've noticed over the years, you know, after watching some of my stuff and just doing research, that performer is not who I am now, which was kind of like the turning point of this movie, because I had really been watching a lot of my stuff, and I had seen, I don't know basically what's happened to me in the last year, but I have seen even in feature movies how I've become and developed into a different performer. You know, right. Which is really crazy, because it's like they say, you know, my fans have got to watch me grow up, because I went from playing 18 to, you know, this weird age. Now I'm just some hot chick. And so it's like I've gone through all these stages where it's like I didn't get my nails done. I didn't, you know, I was a little bit overweight and I didn't care. My hair was two different colors. I didn't know how to curl my hair. I didn't know how to put makeup on. So all my first things, when you had to come hair and makeup ready, I'm like, yo, tomboy self, here I am.
Right.
So it's like when
right.
I line up these pictures, it's very hilarious to, like, see and say that the business has, like, got to really watch me grow up, because I've got to watch myself grow up also through the business and over the years and develop, you know, for, you know, really how I feel like how we develop sexually has, whether we're in the business or out of the business, has a lot with how to do with how we develop as human beings in general.
Right.
You know, on your regular everyday personalities, it's kind of based on what you can finally let yourself do in the bedroom, and when you can really finally let your guard down around one person, you're much more comfortable to let around more people, you know what I mean, just personality wise. So I really feel like that helps develop you as a person, and that's kind of like where I've gone little by little. So it's been really crazy. But the question was gonzo and feature. So for me, the difference is basically being able to just let go as yourself, or being able to have to be constructive as a character. Those are the kind of how I separate them personally for myself. And I think that movie that I did in 2010 was literally the first time that somebody was like, okay, go ahead. And it was with McBlue. And from my point of view, I was like, well, what am I supposed to do with McBlue? Like, I'm supposed to battle back with him? I'm still like a little, you know, virgin when it comes to this kind of stuff. I was like, I do features and you tell me to say things, and we say we love each other, and then we stare into each other's eyes and we get to caress each other like normal, and then we go for it. It's not in your face, I'm about to ravish you and you're gonna take it, but show me how you want to take it kind of moment.
Right.
So it was really crazy. So I do remember when she first shot me, which I'm pretty sure was for Bush.
Yeah.
Was the first time you shot? First time you shot me,
yeah.
And I remember you saying, because we were talking about something, and I was talking about how I felt like completely overrun. I basically played dead fish in that first scene, because I was like, "This is awesome. What do I do?" And I was like so mind blown sexually. I was like, I didn't know what to do in that scene, so I kind of just laid there versus where we are now as developed performers, where it's like it's a game, it's a dance we're playing,
absolutely,
and I'm gonna dance faster than you can kind of thing.
Yeah.
So but that, and I remember you saying to me that you were like, I was a little nervous hiring you. It was after we were done. You were like, I'm a little nervous hiring you because I saw you in a movie that you did for William, and it was like you know, it was okay. You do that thing where it's like, you want to say it really fucking sucked, but you're like, but then it was like, yeah, so, but oh my gosh, this was so amazing. And I worked Manuel for that. And you're like, but this is, oh, geez, I would have never thought that would have come out of this and that. And I was, so I do remember, like, and that's, And after that that movie, you continued to hire me here and there. So since then, back to the original question, since then was when you had started asking me to do, you know, do my
own movie.
Yeah, I remember being asked and watching the girls filter down that got it. I was like, oh, yeah. I remember, like, you coming to me, asking me, saying you wanted to offer a movie, and then seeing who your next, you know, who you would have chose, like, who's going next, and who's going, because when you're not ready, you're not ready, and you never push anybody to do anything if they're not ready. And I think that's one really great thing about working with you is you don't want to work with someone until they're ready, which lets us know as performers that you're only shooting us because you want to, not because you have to.
Right.
And that has a lot to do with our mentality when we show up there.
And when you're ready, then I do push, though, because I want the best. Because it's not that I push, it's just I know that I'm going to work with someone who I can push. And so that's what was so wonderful about you, is I knew that you were going to give it your all, and that I could push you and try and get the best out of you. But I didn't expect that at all.
I wouldn't have expected any of it.
I'm still, like, I still get goosebumps thinking about it. Like, it's still,
Trailer alone is, like, it just is really, it just kind of is really special. Like, watching it the first time. It was like there's a moment when you take off your coat and like you turn and look at the camera, and like there's this moment where it's like this sense of like that you're watching something special. Like, many more may come like it now, because like, but it's a feeling of like, oh, a new standard is being established right here. And so now, from now on, like, there may be, it's like sort of like it's sort of like your first anal scene. Like, the trailer was like, well, now you fucked up, because now all your showcases have to be the spectacular. Like, you set yourself up. Like, really fucked up.
I know.
But I remember watching that, and I remember, like, watching the show. I was like, oh, this is, like, a new standard. Like, now there's a new standard, because now there's this level of gloss to it that has, like, now happened, and, like, it's now editorial porn. It's now Vogue.
Yeah. I know, we argued about that cover for so long, too, and she was like, no, we are not changing it, that is the whole point. And it was now that it's all come together, I get the vision, because the trailer, and like you said, the movie and the footage itself matches the cover, versus if we would have made the cover something different. You know, like one of the cute butt plug ones or something that applies to anal. If we would have done that, it would have totally defeated the purpose of what the rest of the movie was.
Right.
It was like, but I see that now after we had talked about it. Like, I was like, there are no more pictures. There's nothing else. She's like, nope, this is it. And I'm like, you turd. I know there's a million other pictures and you refuse to send any of them. I think the funniest part that I feel like Mason and I have learned about each other is we're both equally stubborn on certain aspects, or just like very dedicated to standing up for what we really believe in. And obviously, you know, my immaturity in the business, meaning that I haven't, you know, had as many years to learn things as she has, is where I'm always willing to give up the fight.
And that's what I loved, and that is one of the things that I loved working with you. It was the first time that we ever really talked about it, because we had the phone conversation of what we're gonna do, and you would defer to me like so much. You were just like, well, this is what you do, and I'm gonna just trust you with this. And it was just like, sometimes I have to say, just trust me. With you, I never really had to.
No,
and that was so wonderful. But it was still very collaborative.
Yeah,
and we still would bounce things back and forth, but you just let me kind of guide us, and that made such a huge difference for me.
Yeah, I definitely think it was a really cool, because I'm obviously working with a lot of directors over the last 5 years, you know, on feature days are much longer than Gonzo days. That's also another difference. Is a Gonzo day is, you know, you shoot the scene in one day and you're done. And feature could be, you know, multiple days. And I spend a lot of time with directors. And, you know, it's cool when you can find somebody to, like, flow with and balance like that.
Well, I think it is, like, a delicate balance, because I think, like, as you, one, with Gonzo, you're giving part of yourself. So it's, like, there's a level of, like, vulnerability, because you are, it's you. There's no character to hide behind in the performance. It's, like, that's sort of you. But as you develop as a performer, I know for me, it's, like, you start to get the sense of control over your image. You start to own that sexuality, because I think part of what it is as females, like, we're being a good performer is almost antithetical to everything we're told we're supposed to be sexually. Like, we're supposed to be demure, we're supposed to be this. And, like, to be a great performer, you kind of have to, like, overcome that. And then once you do, you're, like, empowered. And then to be with someone and be like, okay, I'm going to give control of my image over to you and I'm going to trust you. Like, it can be hard when you're, like, a seasoned performer because you feel like you know what your brand is. And, it's hard. It's, like, a thing to give that to someone and say, like, okay, I'm going to give you this thing that I've spent 5 years being, and I'm going to trust you to, like, to handle it with care and make it,
well, this honor movie, it, it's know? Funny that you put it that way, because this movie for me, and something that I remember actually first saying to Mason when we wanted to start this project, she was like, well, what do you want to get out of this? And one of my major things was, this was my rebranding. This was, I'm not going to play your little kid anymore. Don't put me in pigtails. I am not 18. I'm 27 freaking years old, and I'm ready to do this. It was like a changing for me. It's like a really empowering thing for me as a person that I wanted to express in this, and to get that across in this was by showing I'm a different performer. I'm opening another door of the many that we can go through.
And you did, like, that scene with you in the subway. It's like you're like a woman, like a sophisticated woman. Like, the whole vision of it is like,
yeah,
very, like,
she came up with amazing, after our conversation, which is amazing.
You know, like, and, I mean, there's, like, the metaphorical things of, like, going to down, the subway, going down, like, going faster, like, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But also just, like, that you are presented as a sophisticated woman and not...
in control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just the glass, like, the little touches, the styling, all of it was, like, very, is very different, sophisticated, you know, which is...
Thank you. That was all her. That was all her amazing
Well,
ideas.
No, it's you and your fucking one takes.
It's like, I was determined.
Like, you do everything in one take. It's like, okay, go down the escalator and then, but that's the thing, is that you'll do it in one take, but you'll be like, you'll be sensitive and giving enough to let me have like four, because you know that I have to make it perfect.
Yeah,
but you'll nail it, then you'll just get, and you'll never, like, you just go and you're patient, and I'm like,
it's okay, let's keep going. That's all I keep thinking. I'm like, it's for the better good, it's gonna be okay.
It's like you walked like 3 miles in the desert in those heels.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
And that one take, you did that one in one take. Do you remember? Yeah, that and the sprinklers.
We didn't have much time to shoot that. That was crazy. We had a crazy adventure on this one. I would have to say, out of all the movies I've done, I have more stories from this.
Some we can't
adventure,
share.
Yes, obviously, with this adventure than like any other film I've done, which is crazy, because the next one after this would have been when I did a movie called Lost and Found, and then the one after that probably would have been Star Wars, as far as like crazy wacky stories and like developing new friendships and learning things about myself. This has definitely been like a crazy eye-opener, and I feel like, you know, because I feel like the tables have turned now, where you were like very into it and stressed out and a million when we were shooting it, and now I'm you after we're shooting it, calling you, where before, you know, you were calling me, asking me a million questions. Now I'm calling you, asking you a million, trying to get all this stuff done and talk with you about all this stuff. We've like switched roles. I feel like
it was like a total stress case during No, I know. It was just like I saw you in the parking lot right now. It was kind of like, oh, there she is, and it was like, oh, I've never been so calm around you before, and it was like a moment where I was like, oh, like I can appreciate you for you, and not like, oh my god, we gotta hurry, get in the car, get the shoes. You have the shoe, is the shoe on right? What's going on? There's dust on you. There wasn't dust on that side of the shoe. What's you know, it's like the attention to detail all the time, and now it's like, oh, I just get to be around Allie now.
Yeah, and I don't know if a lot of people know, but you don't have really a female crew on set. So when you, obviously, when there's only other one other female on set with you, it's you and that other female. And then, of course, though we do love you men, you do get on our freaking nerves. So then it's you and me bonding over talking crap about how awful these men are. And then
it's so terrible.
It's like a, it's like like a very fun cycle because it becomes a day of like, I like that it's like that because then it's a like, chance for you to bond.
Bond,
like,
totally.
Whether I had just met you and it was your first time shooting me, I definitely think that breaks ice where it's like, you know, you have that personality where it's like, there's only another girl on set and you're like, I'm going to complain to you because these freaking turds, you know, so it's really nice. It's definitely, it makes it fun. You know,
is it intimidating to be, because I feel like Mason's kind of become an institution in terms of like these showcases. Ew. I know you're going to hate that, but the bottom line is like when we're talking about people come up at conventions, ew, like how does she pick the girls? It's like, because you're an institution now where it's like you've set a standard of like, so my thing is like, is it intimidating to kind of like you're like, oh, I want the showcase. Then you get the showcase. And then, like, but now you're in the midst of a showcase, and you're, like, in a subway, or you're in, like, one of these really expensive locations, and, like, there you see everyone there. Like, is it intimidating to kind of be like, okay, well, like, now I have to bring it. Like, now I have to do this thing. Like, this,
well, coming
this
from
box is going to have my name on it.
You know, like, what's really funny is I see that from other people. So it's different for me now because I was in contract for a year. So I got to do other showcase movies here and there where it was, like, expensive, you know, that part of it.
Right.
But that's not the part of it that is intimidating to me. The part of it that is intimidating to me is that I overcame however she chooses picking people. That's what's intimidating to me is that I'm, like, I'm here and there's a million other girls in this business that deserve this opportunity also. And that's intimidating is it's, like, wow, I really can't fuck this up because
I think that's what I mean. You know, it's like, I mean, the same, it's like yeah, there are other showcases, like, but there's something about, and I think it's what you're saying, like, it's about the bumpers. I think that what I remember from any showcase when I watch it is more than anything, I usually remember the interviews. Because they're like, because you just don't normally see,
you don't get to see the sides of people.
Yeah, like, you just don't normally see that kind of,
yeah, it's hard for a lot of us in the business, whether you're behind the camera, in front of the camera, whatever it is, to get close to each other. One, with our crazy schedules. Two, with a lot of opposite personalities and things like that. So it's, like, really cool to get to see someone that you consider a coworker, maybe that you would consider a cool person but don't really hang out, you know, kind of open up in a different way. Because I still remember Tori's original, like, movies that she did, and everybody always used to tell me that we were, like, sisters and we had kind of had the same personalities and we were and I was always like, what? I don't get it. And I saw one of her interviews from her movies and I was like, oh my God, I would have totally said that. Like, so it's cool because you get to see those other sides of performers,
right,
that, you know, like you said, you would never see. And that's definitely a part that I really, really like and enjoy, is, like, as peers for another, you know, getting to look at somebody kind of open up in a different way, especially when you admire them or, like, have sex with them or are sexually attracted to them, to kind of see them break open in another way just makes them even more sexy.
Right.
And that's one of those major things that I do love about Mason's movies, is it's not just about the sex that makes you sexy. It's an establishment of honoring the fact that you are sexy because you think you are, because you know you are, because you have self-confidence in yourself. And that's, like, one of the cool things that I love about, you know, mainly what she does with movies, because that is how I feel. Mm-hmm. But how do I portray this? And because I could go shoot my own movies. I could go, you know, but I don't know how to get that out of myself.
Right.
And I've always known that she does. Because and that was one of the major reasons that if she didn't take this movie on, I probably wouldn't have done it. That's
just
a real
ask,
fact.
I was gonna ask you, like, what the decision to do, like, an all-anal movie or just,
yeah,
like what
I kind of wondered that too, because
yeah,
that was like sprung
it's
on
natural,
me. I didn't even know it was supposed to be one anal, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we had all signed up for. It was like, okay, it's gonna be Ali's, you know, there's gonna be one anal scene, and it's gonna be that.
Yeah.
And then I got
a
phone call. I don't know who called me, and it was like, she wants to do every scene anal.
It was probably John, because the way the line went, the way our line of communication went. But, yeah, so it was kind of crazy, because I had been thinking about it for a while, and, you know, I have really been wanting to do this for for a really long time, but I was never physically ready. Like, mentally, I was always like, I want to do it. You know what I mean? When she had asked me year after year, and right. I was like, I want to do this. And I would attempt it to do it by myself with toys or, you know, with a partner or something. And it just was not happening. And I was like, I can't do this. It was like, you know, it was crazy. It was like, I can't do cartwheels because I can't. You know what I mean? It was like, I can't do this because I just can't. Nothing anybody says or tells me, no matter what tricks. I had some of the best trainers in our business trying to train me to do it. And it just wasn't there in my head. So I think when that time finally came, I was so excited that I was like, there's no better way to do this. We had originally discussed, you know, the scene and things about me. We had had our conversation. Sure. We did our little 2-hour conversation about talking about us mm-hmm. and why we're doing this and what we want to do and any ideas that I had or anything that I wanted to put in the movie or certain outfits or people I want to work with, or we had that discussion. And after that, then I got a call from John, the owner, like, excited that I'm doing this and stuff, and him and I are friends, so we also talked about it. And then I got a call from Derek to talk about it for the planning, and then there was some time, and then Derek called me back, and it was like, I kept hearing about it and hearing about it and hearing, and I was like, you know, my agent called me the last time, and I was like, what do you think if I just do them all, you know, all anal? And he's like, well, we've already worked it all out. We've already worked out the scenes and partners and everything like that. So if you're going to do it, you're doing it because you want to do it. You know that, right? You're just going full board. The movie is set in stone. We have everything. And I was like, yeah, I know. But I think I want to do this. This is how I want to do this. And he's like, I think you should do it. He was like, I think wow. you're crazy not to.
Wow.
He goes, I think that this will be set you aside from any other, you know, movie that I would feel would come out this year. And I think you should do it. But I'm not going to tell you any otherwise. You know, you need to make this decision on your own. And I was like, no, I want to do this. Every scene needs to be anal. I was like, I have waited 5 years. And I felt, like, almost guilty, like, my fans had been asking for so long that they're so annoyed with asking now because I still hadn't done it. So I was kind of like, they've been asking for so long. I can't imagine, you know, being one of my fans and finally getting to see what they've been waiting for and just go, one scene? This is all I have? Like, I was thinking as a porn watcher, I would have been like, God, I want more. This is kind of lame. You know, so I was like, what better way to, you know, kind of take that away than give them 4 scenes to work with and kind of have an overload of myself? And I was like, if you're gonna do anal, why wouldn't you just do
it? Well, also, it kind of like, if there's like a ritual to it, because it kind of creates a physical challenge for yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I know for me, like, I feel more satisfied when I'm like, okay, if I'm gonna, like, it creates like a challenge for you to go. Like, it gives you somewhere to go, and you're like, how can I challenge myself more? Like, instead of you tell yourself, like, I'm going to do 4 scenes, like, you kind of, it's like almost like a ritual because you do it and it's like, I did something like challenging.
Yeah.
You know, like, because like the expectation is going to be that you're going to do 1 scene, and it's like this way of kind of going like, I'm going to do it like really boldly. I'm going to do it really like.
I really think I just didn't want the experience to end. I knew that I was going to have so much fun working on this project that I kind of feel like I was like, I don't just want one anal scene. Right. I don't want to just do this one time, you know, because I want to keep watching this. I want, you know what I mean? Because it was like, I couldn't imagine shooting any other scenes, whether it was a, you know, gangbang, a blowbang, or, you know, some crazy all-girl scene. We went through all the scenes and we were picking the players and the partners and putting them into place, and it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel like that. This wasn't supposed to be that. Yeah. I was like, it just didn't, you know, I was trying to think in my, you know, my head, like fantasize. We talked about fantasies and all kinds of other stuff and things that I had been fantasizing, and nothing was enough. Like, nothing was making it happen. And that's not what I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to make sure that, I know I've said this a lot to Mason, but I wanted to make sure that if I did this, it wasn't going to be forgotten.
Yeah.
And I think it was not only, you know, not for it to be forgotten in this, in, you know, within the business, but I didn't want to forget it. Right. I never want to forget
that. And
this.
I held that with me. I have that paper. I had a paper of a first conversation. Did I ever show that to you?
Yeah, you did.
And it was like everything that you said and that just that conversation we had in the beginning, I carried everything with that. You just didn't want the 5 years to be for nothing, and you didn't want to be. But I was thinking, how could anybody ever forget you? It's like,
yeah, I just felt like, you know, I feel like as women in general in this business, sometimes every day we give every piece of ourselves when we perform and when we do these things. And, you know, like you and I were talking, our profession is something that you do every day, whether you're shooting or not, you know, and because we love our fans and we're grateful for them. We wouldn't have this without them. And with that, you know, you try and give as much as you can, you know, for as much [S2] Right. [S1] As they give to us. And it's, you know, it's really crazy. And I have always felt like I just don't want, I don't want anything to be for naught ever, because this is, you know, I love what I do and I do it because I love it, and it's always going to be here. So if I'm going to do it, I might as well do it 110%, you know? And I definitely feel like, because a lot of us do that, there's certain scenes that are very special to us as individuals. And I've seen a lot of my friends go, man, they didn't think it was that good. And that
we've all had that. You have an amazing scene and then you go on the forum
and you're
whatever,
so excited
and they're like meh, and you're like, god,
what?
Damn it,
I know, I'm like,
I lost a part of myself in that room. Like,
I'm always like, what do I have to do to impress these people? That's our challenge.
Exactly, because you're trying to create like a visual spectacle to like convey this like intense internal thing that's happening.
And how do you do that without making a face like you're pooping or something?
Right.
You know?
But then it's like, that's when it's like, it gets in this thing. I was like, what's the difference between like being a performer? Because I feel like when I first started, like I was just having sex on camera. Now I perform. And it's like, but understanding like how that's an art form in terms of like being able, like that you transcend just like showing up and being like a dead fit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
being that person to becoming like this proactive person that's like trying to create a moment for a viewer.
Well, that's
like,
what I was,
you know what I mean? Like, kind of.
I tell my fans that all the time. I'm like, you guys are always with me, like, when I'm talking to them. And I'm like, I'm envisioning the things that you say and write to me on Twitter and the things you want to hear, what you want to do, like, when I'm doing the scene. They're always like, what do you think about? And I'm like, you guys? Like, is that weird that I'm thinking about, you know?
No, I do too, because, like, if fans will say, like, they like this or they like that, like, then the next time I'm like, oh, okay, like, that's something that's, like, that's resonating or whatever. It's making them feel good. It makes them feel connected. And then, like, it's a tango.
It's definitely a tango, you know, in your mind, because what turns me on the most is what turns others on. Like, that's how I'm getting turned on. So thinking about all the things that my fans want to see and, you know, want to hear and stuff in my head turns me on. And then I'm there and I'm like, I get to use my partner as a puppet right now. And they don't even know it, because I'm giving the person that I really want to turn on, which is the person on that side of the camera, everything they want right now, because this is exactly what they said to me.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, there's definitely a lot going on in your head while you're doing all of that.
For sure.
What scene do you remember the most or affected you the most or had stands out?
Oh, the scene with Lex.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought when I saw the trailer, I think I even texted you about it. I was like, she looks the most radiant in the scene with like the whole everything. Like, all the scenes were much more like visually compelling in terms of like spectacle. But that very simple tease moment when you're like sort of in the window and the fan's going and then he comes in, like, you look the most radiant, beautiful, like, just gorgeous kind of.
Well, that was the most, I knew that was going to be the most challenging scene for me, not only because obviously size and, you know, but it's like, I've always had a really good connection with Lex. I really love him as a person. He's a beautiful man. I've got to do a lot of scenes with him. And, you know, I wanted him to be in that movie because, you know, Mason had already picked him because obviously he's definitely the one, you know what I mean, if it's going to be my first IR anal to do that. He's a very iconic player.
Right.
And, you know, she picked him, but I don't think that she knew how much that meant to me, because Lex is just somebody that I don't know why has always had pulled on my heartstrings and been very much a part of, you know, pulling out new stuff, you know, and I felt a very good connection with him. And, you know, it was very, I needed him in that movie, and I wanted him to be a part of that, which is the other reason why I wanted to do an all-anal movie, because I wanted to do that
to
with
share
him.
That experience,
I wanted to share
like
that
more
with
than,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really, you know what I mean? And I couldn't think of a, I kept thinking, I couldn't think of another way, you know, how else I want to do this, because I was like, I want Manuel to be in my butt, and I was like, I don't know these men that have had really big, you know, been really big players in, you know, my sexual development. I wanted those people
so
to be there.
Interesting.
Yeah. Ramon was my very first boy-girl scene.
Wow.
And he was in the movie. Mick was my very first scene that she ever saw me in. Lex, you know what I mean? Lex and James, I had never worked with before one-on-one. So it's like each person in the movie had their own play on me.
Right.
And that was the other reason why I decided to do it all anal, because I was like, I want all these people to have this moment with me. I you know what I mean? I was like,
oh, absolutely.
I wanted to give
absolutely.
Myself to them, like, and you know, and I you know, I even teased James a little bit. I'm like, you know, how isn't this crazy the first time that you get to work with me one-on-one and you get my ass like that. And I made sure he knew that, and I need, you know what I mean? I wanted those, and I think that was probably why the scene with Lex was definitely, because, you know, he came there knowing
Doing.
That I was like, you know, chose, you know, like, it was a thing, and he cherished that. He really appreciated that.
And I think the same thing with Manuel.
Yeah.
I was thinking that when I was driving over here, that I know that, I mean, that scene, it's giving me chills thinking about it.
I was like, gonna say, it's hard because that comes in, like, a second, you know, as a second best, but, like, when I see photos and when I'm looking at it, for whatever reason, the scene with Lex is always the first one that comes into mind, but Manuel in that scene, I've worked with him since then, and it's always great and amazing, but I don't know what it was about that day, that time, whatever. It was insane. I feel like, and he couldn't stop talking about that scene when I saw him. So I feel like that scene, like you said, you left a piece of yourself there. It was like everybody left a piece there that day.
Oh, completely. I still feel like we're still there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's still, that whole experience is still there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still taken by it. Like, I remember a moment, and I said this in an interview, where it was like I was out of myself. Like, I forgot for a minute. It was like watching a play.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just happening before me. And then I realized, oh my God, like, I have a camera in my hand. Like, it was just this weird moment. It was just, that was a journey. It was like a dance and a journey and a symphony and just all, like, my senses were just blown away.
I think it was a lot, that was the last day we shot, for one, and that scene was like pulling teeth because all the characters in it were super busy, you know?
Yeah, that was rescheduled,
rescheduled.
Two or three times. We didn't even know if we wanted Adriana.
Yeah.
I had strongly suggested Adriana.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then
was an amazing idea.
She's
super obsessed with her.
And then I think we were probably on maybe 2 hours of sleep or something, and
mm-hmm.
then you had to leave to Australia.
Yes.
Like within an
hour or so after
the scene. So it was just like we were all on adrenaline. And I think maybe sometimes when you're in that kind of state, you don't think and you just kind of go. And I think that's probably what happened, but I don't know. I think Manuel gave us a gift that day. So did I mean everybody.
Yeah.
It's just like,
I feel like the three of us were playing out our own fantasy in that. Like you say, it was like a dance and like a thing. I feel like Manuel was reading my mind, because in every one of those scenes that we had done, I had wanted people to get a little rougher. Like I wanted, like I was very surprised. I was so happy with what James gave me, because he gave me the exact opposite of what I thought was going to happen, because as a performer, when you hear, or I guess as a performer the way before, I don't know, all I ever heard about James was like, be prepared, you're going to get smashed, you know, like, it's awesome, just go with it, go for the ride. He's very like, you know, he's a very powerful guy, and you know, he knows what he wants and he takes it, and it's very, very sexy. And so I was ready that day to be, you know, foot on my face, in the pillows, like,
no, we wouldn't
James
let,
Dean.
We were
like,
going to do that for the first scene.
But see, that's all I'd
no,
ever
I know.
Known James. I'd never
no,
worked
he was,
with
but,
him
one But he's so versatile, because he can be so sensitive and very loving. And
Which was what was amazing about that scene, because it was nothing like I expected. So it was, right. like, totally, it was awesome. And then the opposite, Manuel and I normally make, you know what I mean? In Bush, we, like, made love, you know? So it's like, that's normally how I get Manuel. And then all of a sudden I got Manuel, and I was like, what the, this is crazy. And because I trust him so much, because we've done the whole making love, lovey-dovey stuff, that just, I don't know, feels like it, for me personally, opens a door when I've done a lot of things like that with someone.
Yeah, the first 7 minutes, I was watching, I was just, like, my, I was, like, all eyes were on you. It was, like, just, is she okay? Is this going too far? Is this what she wants? Is going to be okay? It was just, like.
I just like, that's a good scene. Like, when no one's sure if everything's okay, yeah. That's, like, that's a
no,
good
I was
scene.
Just, I was, like, reading every little inflection in your face and your body language. I was, like, is this where she wants to go? Because I know that you wanted to be pushed and you wanted to experience that, but I was just, like, this is getting really intense.
I feel like Manuel was the only one that, because I told you this also, that, like, you know, I feel like a lot of the male talent in the business know Allie Hayes is a very soft, sensitive.
Yes.
So when they come to set to do a scene with me, they don't know that they can push me. They don't ever try. It's always, and I'm always dying for somebody to give, you know, to do something more. But it's like, they don't know my personality as that. They would never expect that. And I feel like, you know, Manuel knew I had it, you know, could see it. He's, you know, he's tried to push me in other places before, and, you know, he wasn't able to. So I feel like he knew this time that he could do it.
I think that's Manuel's, like, particular strength as a performer, is he's, like, a master diagnostician.
Yeah, he can
like,
totally
he
read
can
you.
Read you in, totally like, 2 seconds you. And, like, figure out where to take it.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's kind of what makes him so special in terms of, like, just as a performer in that regard, that, like, you can do that kind of, he can read you or whatever.
Yeah, I know. It was really, really crazy, because that's definitely a scene that I can't wait for people to kind of really give their input about when they get to see, you know, the whole version, you know, of it. It would be really crazy.
The other showcase we were doing when we went into, like, a building in downtown and pretended we were, like...
Oh, my God.
Should we tell this story?
Sure.
Tell it.
On another showcase we were doing, we were looking for a location. So we drove around downtown. We found a warehouse we liked. We called the number. We asked if we could go in. And then there were all these workers inside, like, working on the building, like, building it on the loft. We took, like, a clipboard and stuff and acted like we were inspectors.
Oh,
and, like,
gosh.
Walked into the building and, like, scouted out the location to decide if we could shoot there or not.
That is so funny. That's classic, though.
Yeah.
And then we went on the subway together.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the thing, is, like, girls don't appreciate, like, this kind of, that aspect of it. So whenever I see
I can imagine.
Whenever I see someone, like, I want to showcase, I'm just going, like, I don't know... Do you know what you're asking for? You're asking for a lot.
Yeah, I was really happy that I was, like, able to, like, you know what I mean? Like, when I called her, she was, I'm really glad. That's one of the awesome things about working with Mason is, you know, I feel like girls take for granted the fact that as a director, she will allow you to be as involved as you want to be.
Right.
You know, where other directors sometimes are like, okay, this is what we're doing, show up to set and go. She's very much the opposite. If you want to call her and ask her a question, if you want to say something or do an input. So I feel like every time I talk to her, she was like, oh, Sovereign and I are going to go scout a location, or we're going to go buy outfits real quick, or I sent her to the store, or so I very much felt like, even though we didn't get to hang out during that whole process, I very much so knew that there was someone else besides, you know what I mean, besides her going out and doing things, which is really cool too, because it's like I take honor in the fact that you and I don't know each other that well, and we've maybe been on set together a handful of times,
right.
If that, but when she kept saying that you were helping her, I was like, that is, please, I kept, I always, please tell her I said thank you.
I was so appreciative.
Yeah, I
was so nice.
It's so crazy to me, because it was like, I could see, like, if we were friends or something, and you're like, oh, yeah, well, I help her with her, you know, I got to help her last time, so I definitely want to help her now, because we're buddies or whatever. So it's cool to see that camaraderie ship happen in our business, and especially for me to get it is really awesome, because, you know, I wouldn't think that someone would want to dedicate as much time as you know what I mean, as there is, that, and that's, I could see from your point of view how awful it would be. Like, it, do you deserve it? Like, I get you. Like, do you deserve
For me, it's like, I feel like what's more valuable than, like, costumes, production value, or anything is, like,
someone's time.
One, someone's time, and two, someone's creative
energy.
Thoughts.
Yeah.
Like, your ideas, when you go, like, what if we waited till sunrise, and then we got the sunrise off the building, and then she's there? Like that gift, mm-hmm. like that you think you have this creative vision and then you've given it away now. Like you've given it to someone.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's awesome. Cause that's what art is there for, is to like do all that. But it's this idea where it's like that output, like can't be, it's not quantifiable. And so that's the thing where it's like, you know, you, it's, yeah. it's not like do you deserve it, but it's more just like, man, that's, you're asking for a lot. You're asking for a lot of a,
yeah, I'm honored when she lets me use some of her amazing ideas, because obviously I know she stores them up in her head and waits to use them in the right moment on the right person with the right whatever it needs to be, because I know she's pulled outfits that she bought a long time ago and was like, I didn't know when I could use this, and this was it. It came in my head, and this is when we need to try and use this outfit. You know, so I feel blessed enough getting those thoughts from her, but to get it from someone in your business, a peer, is even crazier, because you could have done that. You know what I mean? You could have stood in front of that camera and done that, but you were willing to give those ideas to me and let me, you know what I mean,
right.
help her with that is, like, really super cool.
But let's talk about Subway, because that was kind of funny. We went down there at, like, what, midnight?
At midnight. Assuming that nobody would be... I don't know if we chose a bad day or, like,
no,
a busy day.
Remember, we had pulled a bunch of riders, are they called?
Yeah, we went yeah. down during the day.
And we asked, like,
and we
of people.
Were asking people, when's at least, do you commute here a lot? When's it busiest? Thank you.
And then we're very good at, like, having a notepad and looking really official, like, it's like our MO. It's like, totally. You'd see you in your cute glasses, probably.
Excuse
people
me.
Are like, and your grammar. Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Her impeccable grammar.
But it was crazy busy. We thought to go at 5.
Right.
But then our helper had said that it's totally busy. It's like the worst time. So we thought, okay, let's go at midnight. But it was still busy.
It was still so... It was busy till the last ride. We were there until the last ride. Like, we almost didn't make it back, remember? Because we were shooting on a part of the subway that had, like, a cool sign, a cool area, and it happened to just be the middle. And, you know, we knew in our head that we had to get on one of them because it was going to be the last one. And obviously we calculated the one before that, but knowing most all of us, we're always late. So that time flew by, and we almost missed the last, we would have had to walk. Like, we would have had to go up top and, like, get a bus or a cab or something. Like, we would have been totally stuck.
But we would have made an adventure out of it.
Yeah,
we would have taken public transportation for fun.
I know, right? It would have been crazy, but.
So, those guys, did they know who you were? The ones that were taking pictures of you?
I think so.
What happened? So when...
Okay, so it was, like, almost the end. It was, like, the end. Like, we were going back, and we were, like, whew, no, like, this, we've been all good.
We're not going to jail. Everything's great.
Yeah, we're not going to jail. You know, because a girl in a black trench coat with bright red shoes doesn't scream anything. So it was...
But it did later on.
It did, I know.
Remember what happened later on?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say that one after, but...
Okay.
So what happened? The guys...
Yeah, we were walking. There's a shot in the movie at the beginning when you're on the subway and you see people's feet. And those are real people. Those are not like extras or those are, what are we, writers? Those are the writers.
Yeah,
those are the writers. And, you know, it was
that
very...
That was so brilliant. When I remember when that happened, I was like, oh my God, he moved his foot. It's so perfect.
Yeah, because
and you just kept
moving,
going.
They were tapping
and
their feet and stuff. It was like, it
and
was
the crazy
real.
Guy?
Yeah.
The guy who was like shaking back and forth.
Sitting in the back.
Crazy hair.
Yeah, and saying things. Like, I was trying so hard not to laugh because I was supposed to walk sexy. And I'm like, this is really hilarious.
It was crazy.
And then
surreal.
I was like, don't eat shit. Don't eat shit. And then
don't
I was like,
fall,
don't
yeah.
fall. Oh, I was like, when is it going to stop? When is it going to, you know, like, how am I going to.
And then do you remember when
myself?
That guy was sitting in the back and then our helper asked him to move?
Yes.
He started getting crazy.
He got so mad.
He was so mad. I was like, whoa, what do you mean?
And then, he got so mad because we were try and get the shot, you know, because you scouted the location where the lights
were flashing in her eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, where it was on the right side. And it was the last train back, and he was sitting in the only seat with the lights.
And remember, like, we were, like, sitting there doing all this math, like what side of the fucking train do we gotta be on to get the light to hit your face? Yeah. No, go sit on that. Like, when we were scouting it, I had to jump from one side to the
and
other.
And then we had to do it anyway. Sure to light.
And even then, I still didn't understand, because I was like, I think
like artists doing math.
The wrong side.
If we're on this side when it's coming, then what side are we on when it's going?
Yeah.
So exactly.
Then the guy was like, well, I'm not moving or whatever.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, he was like, whoa, okay, whatever.
Well, because our helper's like 6'5" or whatever. Oh, like, God. No one's gonna like...
I know, that was the crazy part too, because it was just the two of us, you know, walking around, and then our helper is the two of us stacked together, right. And it's like, we technically had four people, but it was three of us.
But then the funniest thing is when we got to the...
Oh, yeah, when we got back.
Okay, so she's in her trench coat and heels.
And red shoes.
And I had rented a nice car, okay?
It's more than a nice car.
Okay, I rented a nice car because...
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Do we get to tell that story?
Oh, we certainly can.
Oh, because somebody decided to close their garage door on their other really nice car.
I remember getting that call at 2 a.m.
I fucking backed my car up into the...
Do you know why? Because you threw the clicker into the cup holder.
Yes, but do you know what
itself.
I was doing?
What were you doing at 2 a.m?
No, it wasn't 2 a.m. I told her at 2 a.m, but it was like 9:45. I'd gone to buy that guitar case.
For
our friend.
Yeah.
And I have a notebook that I keep with me of all the dimensions on everything that I got, you know, like what stop sign was the haystacks at. I keep notes of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I left that notebook there. And it was like 9:45. And they closed at 10. And I was like, please, you don't understand. It's a pink notebook. It had everything. It had all of the shoot details, everything.
Oh my gosh.
And
that
so that's when I didn't know that. Yeah, so when I left and then I threw the clicker down and I drove right back into my garage.
Yes, and destroyed, pretty
so
much
like
destroyed
the whole top of the car.
So you had to get the rental.
So I got the rental, which I had an excuse to rent
a really cool car. Yes.
But anyway, so when we're up there, it's Allie, it's the 6'4"
guy,
okay, who I could be stereotypically mistaken for a pimp.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes, very much so.
I'm in the car and I haven't gotten out yet.
No, and it reminds you, it's like, what, 1 or 2?
It was 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay, so Allie's with the, looking like the stereotypical pimp.
In my red heels.
In the red heels. And then the sheriff comes behind and stops. And I'm assuming, well, afterwards, I didn't know at that time.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming afterwards he thought that I was
a guy, because he couldn't see you.
Because he didn't see me in the car.
Because you were sitting in the car.
Because you were standing by the passenger side with him. And
yeah, just
she was, like, looking in the car. And then he asked, and I got out.
It totally weird.
It looked really weird. So the sheriff, like, is like, hey, what's going on? Yeah. And then I got out of the car, and he looks at me, and he was like, so.
But it was all okay.
Yeah, and he'd be like, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, oh, fuck. What do I do? Web designer. Like, you know, whatever comes out when I have to say.
I'm a gangster of love.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm a quantum mechanic.
I know. I always want to say something crazy. Like, I build birdhouses. Or something like
taxidermy.
I do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
But it was great, because it was like the typical, like, I drive a nice car, fuck you, kind of answer. It was very much like, I think would threw him off, and then he was like, oh, okay.
Like, it was like, I do what I want.
No, it was very much like,
I did though.
I do a lot of nice things. It was great. I think it was the perfect answer. Because I feel like I do a lot of things,
and what did he say? Do you remember what he said?
He goes, I wish I could do a lot of things, too, to drive a car like
that's
that.
That's what he said, and that was it. And then it was like, okay, well, how we always are.
But I think if you would have been, like, polite and been like,
you would have asked more questions.
Exactly.
And I had the footage. Like, I had the footage on my camera in the car. I had my finger. Remember when I was in the car?
I
had my finger on the erase button.
To erase everything that he had.
Yeah, because I thought that's what was happening. Is that they were. So I'm like, that's why I was in the car when you guys were outside, and I was like,
lost all of that.
So I had, you know, to delete the files.
My feet would have hated you, because something that people don't know is that I wear a size 8, 8.5. Maybe some people do know that. And those red shoes I'm wearing are a 7. Woo! So anytime you see me in those red shoes.
Oh my god.
Please know they were a size too small.
Oh
no. Do you feel like anal is there something about it that is like emotionally different that like it's like this thing that like this kind of that makes it this thing that we kind of come up against and then we're like we evolve over it or
I definitely think so because I feel like there's a turning point as a woman where you accept certain things about life and your body that you would normally be, you know, ashamed of or keep away from people. I mean, some women are a little bit more open, you right. know, and I'm essentially talking about, you know, farting and pooping and like all those things that we don't do because we're sexy. You know, for me, I'd always just right. been, you know, having sex and I was like, well, I don't want something awful like that to happen.
Right.
You don't do that. And then I was like, wait, I can have control over this. I have control over this. I know what's going to come in and out of my body when I want it to, and I can make things open and close if I want them to. It was like, because I had finally, I think because I had finally taken control of myself in my life. It was like, that was something that we were trying to like get across in the movie, because it was like, I know for a lot of other women that I know in the business that have just done their first anal or whatever, it was a business move, or it was they, you know what I mean, they were finally ready because somebody did just stick it in their butt and they were like, I love this, you know, they loved it sexually. For me, it was an emotional thing. It was like a complete, and to like try and portray that or like get that across, I was always like, you know, she did it, she, you know, Mesa did it, but I was always like myself, like when you were asking me questions and stuff, it was like, even now, I can't verbally describe, like, what made me all of a sudden ready, you know what I mean, ready to do these scenes, and, you know, in this movie in general. It's such an emotional thing for me. It's, like, it's such a personal, it's, like, a, it's so personal that it was, like, I didn't want to keep it to myself. I wanted to share it to everybody, and I'm ready now because I, you know, it was a control thing. It was a turning point in my life that is just, like, really crazy, and I you know, I wanted to remember it this way forever.
Are there more anal scenes in your future, you think?
I definitely love it. I am now an addict. I need AA. I am definitely now an anal addict, and I love it. I, like, stare at pictures of other people doing it all the time, and I'm, like, researching all this stuff and new and different fun ways, safe, fun ways to, like, experience other things that I haven't done yet anally, and I definitely see more scenes in my future. This isn't the end of what I want to do, for sure.
Good.
Awesome. Which means a lot more fun.
I think it's interesting, too, that it's, like, an all-anal movie, but for me, it's a movie that just has all anal. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, a beautiful movie about just an amazing, beautiful girl that happens to have all anal scenes mm-hmm. in it, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's a showcase. It became a showcase. Like, I was actually worried about that, you know, since we were doing an all anal movie, that people would just see it as an all anal movie instead of seeing it for what it was originally intended to be
right.
before I decided to do an all anal movie.
And I think that maybe that was your concern too when it got released, the scenes got released on the website first.
Yeah.
How it just became, oh, see Ali Hayes' first anal scenes instead of see her movie.
Yeah.
But I think that the spirit of the movie still resonated through your performances, and I think some of the movie itself is not in its entirety on the website, but the clip, there is some interview sequences that precede the scenes. But I mean, I'm looking at the reviews today. The movie has not been released on DVD yet.
Yeah.
And people are saying it's, you know, it says, here's a little review. It says, Ali's anal scenes are beyond belief. Those who haven't seen them yet are really missing out. Cannot believe this is just her first anal movie. That she really does look like she's enjoying anal. Enthusiasm, it's got it all. Hold on, let me read some more. Ali, the movie Ali, is an anal tour de force. I just saw her anal scenes on Hard X and they are epic. I don't know if she plans on doing more, but if it is, it'll be an amazing gift for her fans.
That's really crazy to me too, that people are saying it like that, because like you said, all they're viewing it as now is just an internet scene, because that's what's on there. They haven't even seen the full product yet, yeah. The whole thing in its entirety. And it's like I did like the way that it was went about on the site, because each scene was released day by day. It wasn't just all overloaded at one time, so people, you know, got to wait and see something, you know, each day. It was 4th of July gift. 4th of July gift from Hardex. But it's definitely the reviews that I've gotten via Twitter are like really crazy. People are super surprised. Again, like that last comment that I'm very proud of the fact that people could not even tell that it was my first anal. You know, our fans are diehard, and they watch, you know, porn fans in general are diehard. And, you know, they love us all, and they try to never give bad reviews, realistically. But, you know, that means that they do pay attention, and they do watch other people's scenes and maybe think that they don't enjoy it that much or that they don't like it. And, you know, I would have hated for it, you know, for it, the movie to come across like that, or my scenes to come across like that, because it was exactly the opposite. So for all the enjoyment I got across, for that to be the number one review, is that people are like, wow, I could really tell that you were like totally into it. It's yeah. great, because yeah. I was like, I wanted everybody to know how into it I really was. Right. And like you said, there are some scenes sometimes that we're so into, and then they don't view it.
Yeah, when they don't resonate, it's like, it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
It's like, how did you not feel that?
So to know that they feel that in like every scene.
Yeah, it's very rewarding.
It's beyond rewarding. And it's like, for them to be asking for more after, you know, after doing 4 scenes, for them to be asking for more is really super crazy, because most showcases only have one of something new in it. And of course they want more, because it's just one. But I thought I could hush everybody up for a little bit by giving them
four scenes, and
they already want more, which is really, really crazy and really cool. Because I've done some other firsts, and I haven't seen reviews of, well, we want more. Right. You know, it's been like, oh, it was really great to finally see her do it. You're like, yay. And I'm like, what? So, there's only been a couple of things that I've done that people have said, and I'm like, that means I did it right the first time, you know?
Right.
Sometimes we don't always get it right the first time.
Well, I think for me, it's really satisfying to see a performer that's been in for a while and has an evolution, like, that it's resonating with fans, not because, like, you're some crazy over-the-top, like, spectacle, but because you're, like, an earnest, like, what's resonating with them is that, like, you're a good performer, you're a human being.
Yeah, yeah,
and
exactly
that,
right.
Like, that
yeah,
you're that no. you're genuine.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's really satisfying to be like, oh, like, as a performer, like, you can continue to impress your fans you can continue to be relevant to your fans. Not by doing tricks, but by, like, being a genuine,
yeah.
like, authentic performer.
By
that's, for
yeah.
me, like, that's
doing
really
the only
satisfying.
Thing that we know
yeah, like,
how
it's
to
like,
do.
As if people are responding to authenticity, and it's like, you don't have to be, like, shoving crazy things in your ass and, like, doing weird shit to, like,
yeah.
to generate that kind of, like, I appreciate that as, like, as a fellow performer, because it's like, heartening to see that fans respond, like, they're receptive to that.
Yeah,
and
I
can't. That's,
I can't wait till people get to see the whole movie. Like,
yeah.
I can't wait to see the responses.
Yeah, I can't either, because I definitely feel like I watched it again after all the internet stuff was put up, like, with the full, you know, with the full interviews and stuff, to kind of put it all together, to be a little more, to be, you know, a little recharged to the fact of, like, okay, they still haven't seen this yet. Like, they really still haven't seen what this movie is all about yet by just getting the scenes, you know, on the internet. They haven't yet, you know, kind of as a reminder. And I definitely feel like the way that Mason put it together says a lot about myself, even points where I'm watching it going, wow, I really did this, you know what I mean? Like, I still look at it and I'm like, wow, I really did this. Like, I said that to you a couple times after we talked days after it, and I'm like, I still can't believe I really did this. Like, I still feel like we're supposed to shoot this. Like, it's still, like, there's still more that we're supposed to be doing. Like, it, like, that's how, you know what I mean, how energized and
right, yeah.
I am about what's going on. Is I'm like, there's, I need more of what we're doing.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, it's really cool to, I like, you know, when I get to watch my stuff and I see me, you know, I'm like, it's awesome. You know what I mean? Right. I see something that I can, you know, I can show that to somebody that I've grown up with and they're like, it's the girl I know. That's right. That's that girl. She, you know what I mean? That's like, when I see that in myself, I'm like, oh, that's so, so awesome. You know, I've seen people post photos of like silly goofy faces that I make or flipping people off or just jokes I make, and that's the stuff that my fans love the most about me. So to finally get a movie of that is like really cool because I know what my fans love about me, and you know, though Mason does know me, she doesn't know my fan base, and she gave, you know what I mean, she was able to put everything that I wanted to give them in a movie, which was really cool because I was always so worried about that. I remember I kept saying to you like, but my fans, and I don't know if they'll respond to that because that's not, you know, I mean, that's not, or maybe, I don't know. I was always very conflicted about, you know, making sure that it was what it was, what it needed to be. And I feel like you already knew that, like you already knew what it needed to be without knowing. I feel like you do this thing, like you have this crazy mind that foresees what is going to be before it's even there. Like, you already know it's going to be amazing and it's going to be awesome before it's even there, but you don't know how you're going to get there. It's like you always see this amazing end, but it's always like a crazy ride to get there.
And I don't even know where it's going to end up. Like, I don't know where it's going. It's a total journey for me as well.
Like, you explained it to me. Like, you never know.
I never know. Like, day one, I get a sense. Day one, I knew it was going to be great. Like, I just knew it was going to be an amazing ride. But I didn't, because I have to learn about you more and understand you more. And it kind of starts to evolve and take on its own life. And I think by the last day, like, it really...
Yeah, which was really great because the last day I didn't hear a single thing from you behind the camera. So I was like, yes, you know, not hearing from you isn't wonderful, but you know,
but then you knew that it was, that you'd nailed it.
Yeah, and that was really like really cool for me because it's like, I feel like when you can be rendered speechless in the scene, it's a really... Oh, yeah. It's like the challenges like that that Sovereign was saying that we do to, you know what I mean, to continually push ourselves, and that was like one of the goals that I had left myself, you know what I mean, to try and, you know, keep her quiet during the scene because you know, so that was definitely really cool because I know that there was the day of the desert when we shot that scene. It was just such a long beginning that by the time it was ready to come to the, you know, come to the end of the scene, I felt like, you know, my engine had killed. Like, it was just, there was no physical energy. And it was like, I walked in and out of that dang bar like 100 times. And I was I'm so horny right now. Why am I doing this? And then I was like,
oh my God.
And then I'm like over in the corner sticking this butt plug in my butt. And I'm like, this is really turning me on. How many more times am I going to have to go in and out of this thing? And I'm So so that day there was definitely like, luckily, you know, working with you as a teamwork kind of thing is really great because it was like, okay, though I'm, you know, kind of slowly winding down, it was like, let's recharge this, let's get back on, you know, back on the groove, because I was so ready just to be ravished by those two guys that I was like, wait, I could do the ravishing too. And it's like, you do this thing where you pump somebody up that you're like, I can see it in your head. It's like, I feel like you see our wheels turning in our head of something really good, like sexually, that we're imagining why the scene is going on. And it's like, I feel like for whatever reason, you can look at somebody and you know that they're thinking something, and you know, it's like, you almost say like, let it out, like quit thinking it to yourself. Like, you have to tell everybody else what's going on there because it's really freaking awesome. And that's what they love about you. So why aren't you going with this? I feel like you're like mentally talking to me of like, I have this cool thing that I want to do, and you're saying, let's do it. Anytime I hear you from behind the camera, I'm always like, all right, she knows what I'm thinking. And you probably have no clue. You have absolutely no clue.
I rarely do any kind of promotion for the movies because I don't believe in hype, and I don't know. I just don't like to do press, and I don't like to promote these things because I want them to have life on their own. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to do this because I wanted to celebrate something that was like, it was so special to me, and I just you know.
Thank you. I still owe you dinner.
I know. That's true. But this was a very special moment in my life, and I was really sad when it stopped.
Me too.
I was, like, really, really sad, but I've been able to, like, I feel like I've grown so much from it, and I get to take that with me, like, for the rest of my life, and I'm just, I'm so grateful for it. It was just a wonderful, I grew so much from this, and I'm just so thankful. It was, like, just amazing.
Me too.
It was really, really cool. Yeah.
Very cool. We're not supposed to cry. We almost made it the whole movie without crying.
I cried the Manuel day.
Yeah, that's true.
I really did. I'm not going to cry today, but it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
It was amazing. I feel like this is just the beginning because, it's not even out yet.
No, I know. I think we still have so much more to do.
Yeah.
Like, even apart, I mean, we're going to just, like...
I know.
Continue.
I know, right? I'm hoping we can do more together. I still haven't had sex with her.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. We will we'll definitely do more things. But, yeah, just thank you for giving so much to this.
No, thank you. And, thanks to our artists.